This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
2024 was a year of epic adventures, jaw-dropping redemptions, and a couple million points earned and redeemed throughout the year. From breathtaking destinations like Bali and the Maldives to unforgettable experiences like swimming with manta rays and flying high in Vegas, we've maximized every point and mile to revolutionize our travels. But the best part? That's sharing the journey with you. Join us as we reflect on the highlights, break down the numbers, and give you a sneak peek into an even bigger 2025. Let's dive in and make your next trip your best one yet.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to Revolutionizing Your Journey, your go-to podcast for all things travel, points, and miles. I'm your co-host, Taryn Gisbert, and today we are wrapping up an incredible year. As 2024 comes to a close, DeAndre and I are very excited to take you through our biggest wins, favorite trips, and the lessons that we've learned along the way, from unlocking massive points and miles opportunities to exploring unforgettable destinations. It's been a year of adventures, growth, and a little bit of travel hacking magic. We'll also revisit some highlights from our mid-year update, reflect on the new tricks that we've discovered since then, and share how we've used points and miles to make the most of our travels. Plus, we'll give you a sneak peek at what's coming in 2025.
This is our first full year of having the podcast under our belt, so really wanted to take a moment just to thank all of you guys, the listeners out there that have made this possible for us, especially the ones that have been with us from the beginning, that was excitedly waiting for our launch. And we just saw some massive growth, a huge explosion, and a lot of great feedback, and the people that have come along the way. So really appreciate those of you that have either reached out directly or even told me in person that you enjoy the podcast. You are the reason why we keep doing these, because we hear the benefits that you guys are getting from it. I will say it was amazing when going to the Travel More conference, I had multiple people that said, "I know you. You have the travel podcast, Boldly Go." And so that was super cool. So again, just want to take a moment to thank all of you guys. And as always, we are open to feedback, to suggestions, and guest ideas and other content that you'd love to hear on the show. So always feel free to reach out. So the first thing we want to start out with on this wrap up is we wanted to talk about our points totals at a high level. So we understand that it's a little much to get super granular on how many points we ended up with across all the different places we're earning points, but we wanted to really encapsulate as a whole, where were our points? What did we do well? And cover the sign-up bonuses and other highlights that we have. And of course, we have our personal spending. We have three different businesses that have cards and everything like that. So we're not going to get super granular, but we'll talk high level. So I think it's really helpful to hear how we accumulated our points for the year. And you guys can see how to do it yourself for next year, or compare, how did you guys do this year yourself?
Okay. So I will start here. I only opened one card this year to keep my Chase 524 rule at bay. As a reminder, Chase declines you automatically when you have five personal cards or cards that show up on your personal credit report within a 24-month period. So the one that I signed up for was the IHG One Rewards Premier credit card. And it had an elevated offer at the time of 165,000 points. So we got that for a trip that we knew we wanted to take next year to Roatan, which we will talk about later. In addition to the 165,000 points for the signup bonus, I earned another 27K in spending. So I got 192,000 points year to date with my IHG card. And since we have the wedding next year, and that's a great way to also hit signup bonuses, I anticipate opening up potentially a few more cards next year. And I also earned, for American Airlines, 143,000 miles due to the Basque bank account, which we have talked about many times. However, with interest rates dropping here recently, we went from getting about 10,500 miles per month to now like a little more than 8,000 per month, which not terrible, but it will be a bit less. But that is a huge bank that we got this year. But also, I know I talk about shopping portals. So at the end of the year, my shopping portal year to date was over 31,000 points, which more coming in, and an additional 30,000 points by using my American Airlines Barclay card just by using that. So, and then also I earned a little bit on my Capital One, only 75K, as well as 65K on my Chase Sapphire.
And for me, I ended up opening about 2 personal cards and 5 business cards this year. So for the business, we opened 2 Chase Business Preferreds. Each of those had a 100,000 signup bonus. And then we did 2 Amex Business Gold. And that one was actually interesting because I opened one for one business, and we talked about that in the mid-year update. And they offered me 150,000 points for that signup bonus. And then soon after I got that, they sent me an offer for another business with a $10,000 spend and offered me 100,000 points on that one. So it wasn't as good as the 150 I got in the first one, but that was the easy 250,000 points and Amex Business Gold for 2 separate cards, which was great. And so the interesting thing was we also got another business platinum for the Truicity, our wealth management practice. And that was a $250,000 signup bonus for a 20K spend in 3 months. And this one is one that I find super interesting. So essentially last year, so 2023 in November is when I opened up the first business platinum card for the wealth management practice. And they offered me this new one in November of 2024. So typically speaking, what you would have is you would have your annual fee in one card, right? And then you're holding it. And maybe if they offer you another one, I mean, it's worthwhile just to, I mean, the annual fee absolutely makes up for it and the amount of points that you're going to get. But what was interesting with this one, so I was able to double dip in a lot of the benefits because I went ahead and made sure that I had the annual fee hit for the first business platinum, that roughly $700 charge. I had that hit. And then after it hit, within 30 days, I contacted them because I had the new business platinum that issued the same month. And I said, hey, you guys offered me a new one. I don't need this old one. Let's go ahead and cancel it. And they actually were, they didn't even give me any pushback. They said, yep, that makes sense. We'll go ahead and cancel this. But before I did that, I made sure to use my Dell credit before the, and I actually tied it in with Rakuten as a shopping portal and got some really great multipliers of points on that. But I used my $200 Dell credit with that card, waited for the credit to hit, and then 2 days later, I basically went ahead and canceled that card. And they did not claw back the credit. And because I waited for the full 12 months and I waited for the fee to come back around, the points I earned from opening it in 2023 all stayed. So I got to maximize all the benefits of the card, the fine hotel and resorts credit, the Dell credit, all the benefits of that. I maximized the airline credit, all of those things, which was great. Now, here's the fun part. With the new Amex Platinum, I have all of those credits I'm still eligible for in 2024 still. So for Dell, I went ahead and made another purchase on Dell to maximize that $200 credit. And I don't really need the airline credit. So this was a unique travel tip here. So if you have an airline credit that you don't essentially think you're going to be able to use, if you choose United as your selected airline, they actually have what they call their travel bank. And with your travel bank, you can actually use your Amex card and basically pre-buy airfare for them. And so you can do it in increments of like $100, $250, and so on. So I just did two separate $100 charges on my new Amex Business Platinum and got the $200 back. And now I have $200 sitting at United that I can wait until a future trip to use, which is amazing as well. So those were just really great timing opportunities to double dip on multiple cards. And the fact that the new card hit the same time as the old just meant that I didn't have to even have an overlap in annual fees, because I would have still paid that same $700 annual fee no matter what. So that ended up turning out perfectly. And I'm super happy of the timing of that. And also the fact that it was a 250,000 point offer, because I believe when I got the first Amex Business Platinum, I only got 180,000 points maybe from it, which is great. So on the personal card side, I opened up the Chase World of Hyatt card. And essentially, that ended up being about 60K points for the total spend. It had a bonus structure. If you spent $3,000, you got 30K points. And then you got a bonus amount of points up to the $15,000 spend. And so that ended up being a total of 60,000 Chase points. Also, when you hit $15,000 on the spend, you get a free night certificate. And that card offers you a free night certificate on the anniversary. So basically, the goal with this one is spend $15,000 on it within a year in general, because a $95 fee means two nights of free stays annually. So that's kind of a no-brainer there. As long as we put 15K on it, which we very easily will, we'll get two nights of free stays at Hyatt properties, anything from a category 1 through 4. And then I announced this on the recent quick hits about the Barclays change with American Airlines. So I did end up getting the Barclays Aviator Red World Elite card with American Advantage. And that's really one of the easiest cards to earn a sign-up bonus for, because you literally, on your first purchase, it could even be a stick of gum, they're going to give you 60 to 70,000 American Airlines miles. And so I did that. I doubt I will keep that one long term. We'll see what happens with the changes to the Citi partnership. I know, Taryn, you already have that card as well. So we'll just kind of see what happens there. So those were the only two cards I opened personally, were the Chase World of Hyatt and the Barclays, because everything else I did was on the business side. And the cool thing is all the business cards I opened up this year, none of them actually show up on my credit report, because Chase and Amex don't report to the credit bureaus when it comes to their business cards. Now, this still pings your credit, but our credit score is still over 800, both of us, on all of this. And then I want to mention a couple honorable mentions. On the Amex Personal Platinum, I just called them after my annual fee hit. And I've had this card for a number of years. And I basically said, hey, guys, I don't know if I want to keep this. I've got the Business Platinum already. I'm thinking I'm probably going to want to cancel this card, because I figured they would probably offer me a retention offer. I know those retention offers can go up to 50,000 points, which would have been exciting to get. I got one for 25,000 points for a $3,000 spend within, I think it was 3 months. I know people that have called back over multiple days to try to see if they get a better offer. I really didn't have time to do all that. I was going to keep the card. I figured, hey, 25,000 extra points for spending that we would do anyway is great. And so got an extra 25,000 bonus points for that. And then I want to throw out there the benefit that we talked about in our Facebook group. So if you're not a member of our Facebook group, I highly suggest that you do so, because SoFi was running a collaboration with Rakuten where basically if you just changed your payroll, the contribution, right? So wherever you get your income comes from, change payroll so that you get $500 direct deposited into a new SoFi checking account, they would give you either $350 cash back, or if you have it linked with your Amex membership rewards, 35,000 points. So I very simply went through Rakuten, opened up a SoFi checking account, and was able to get 35,000 Amex points. And it was the easiest 35,000 Amex points I think I've ever gotten, just by making sure I had at least one payroll deposit hit of $500 into this checking account. So that was all the breakdowns for myself. When total, when we look at it, between Taryn and myself, we've probably racked up about 1 million points purely through sign-up bonuses this year. And then if you include the Basque Bank, the shopping portals, airline mileage, all those different things, and just our regular spend, we earned probably another 1.5 to 2 million either points and or miles across the board. And one of the things I want to point out to that, 250,000 points alone came from the Chase Business Preferred card. So, and that's specifically with the payroll that we've talked about and we talked about on previously on episode 53, how to earn payroll on points. Well, 250,000 points alone just came from payroll being ran on one card. And I didn't find out about that until halfway through the year. So next year, that number is going to be closer to 500,000 for sure. So ended up total earning somewhere around 2 to 2.5 to 3 million points. We redeemed about 1.5 million points and we took three big trips. That does not include the Maldives that we were on for New Year's last year. I'm going to count that as a redemption for 2023. So we did Bali and Singapore altogether, back to the Maldives, and then Mexico City, which is here at year end. And so for those three trips alone, we had a total value of about $91,000 worth of travel. We spent about 1.4 million points, spent about $10,000 out of pocket. So the math on that ends up being that for those three trips all combined, we averaged about a 5.7 cent redemption. And I think realistically, if you add up all the point redemptions, the small trips, the airline benefits, the Amex fine hotels and resorts, the things that we randomly transferred some points to for this or that, I think we got well worth, maybe $100,000 worth of travel, maybe even 120 to 150 this year, and super excited about it. So wanted to transition to talk through what are our top moments of 2024 when it comes to travel. Now, caveat, we are recording this before we leave for Mexico, where we're going to spend 1 week in Tulum for Christmas and then 1 week in Mexico City for New Year's. So we'll have to see if any of our top moments get topped on this trip. And we are going to not say top flight, because that one was a no-brainer for both Taryn and I, which was Emirates first class. That was just an overwhelmingly high level of luxury and insanely amazing. So we're not even going to go there on the superlatives. I want to add in, though, on the top flights, that China Airlines was a very nice business class product that I was very surprised by. Our San Francisco to Taipei flight, that was very surprising. And I want to throw out there because that I think we had a great time on the airline. But Taryn, I'm going to start with you. What would you say, and for the listeners out there, we didn't pre-discuss this at all, so I have no idea what Taryn's going to say. She doesn't know what I'm going to say. I'm going to have my guesses of what I think she would say.
Hey, he thinks he knows what I'm going to say.
I think. So Taryn, what would you say is your top destination overall?
Well, I am sure that you are anticipating that my top destination overall is going to be the place that we were at twice this year, which would be the Maldives, which obviously I'm a huge fan of. However, spoiler, I'm not going to say the Maldives as much as I love it. I'm going to say actually Bali, because there were so many different unique things that made Bali live up to like more than the hype. It had amazing energy. It had incredible experiences, like old world architecture with temples, and just the people were fantastic. And I feel like there's a lot that people talk about with Bali, and I really didn't get it until I was there. And I don't want to downplay Bali just because I love the Maldives. So final answer.
So for me, that was also the same place, Bali. That was going to be my same destination as well. Yeah. For all the reasons you said, as you know, I've mentioned this plenty of times and I've said on the podcast that Thailand is one of my favorite countries that I've been to. I think Bali is the closest that I've seen to something like a Thailand, but still very different, very unique. The fact that most of the roads were two lanes all the way through every part of the island that we were on. The people were incredible. The views, I mean, it just, all the boxes were checked. I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, we had great diving. I mean, across the board, it was a great experience.
And customer service. Like, Bali leaves nothing else to want, at least from our experience in customer service, because I feel like they were very attentive and on top of things, as well as just very generous giving people as a whole.
Absolutely agree. And from a point standpoint, the Bali trip would have been around $29,000 we would have paid out of pocket. And between some of our lodging and our travel there, we did all business class getting there and back. We ended up using 580,000 points, and our actual out-of-pocket cost was $6,000 roughly. So saved around $23,000 just by using points. So Bali, we tied same place for top destination. So absolutely love it.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. DeAndre here, and I just wanted to interrupt briefly to remind you of two things. First, be sure to sign up for our newsletter where we give you direct access to travel updates, news you'll want to jump on in the points and miles world, and our continuously updated card offers to maximize your travel rewards, often before they're ever mentioned in the show. Also, if you didn't already know, we have a private Facebook group where we share news as it breaks, ideas, and other things that don't make it into the newsletter or show many times. And that's the best place to get your points and miles question answered directly by me and other travel enthusiasts. Both of these links will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show.
All right, so then what would you say across all of the places that you stayed, what was your favorite?
So I'm going to go with the Airbnb that we stayed at in Bali, specifically in Salat, because that was probably, I think, one of the most photogenic places we've ever stayed. And I highly recommend listeners, you catch our Bali episode, which we can tag in the show notes, just because, I mean, this place was unbelievably gorgeous. And also we have a whole blog post on it as well. But it was beautiful. It was photogenic. It was in the rice fields. There was a swing outside. It was very rustic. Didn't have AC or anything like that, but was still nice. We were out there with nature, the frogs, the animals, but still had a high level of service. They brought our food, which they kind of had to hike to for every single meal, whether we wanted wine with our food. I mean, the food was incredible. We had massages out there overlooking the rice field. And then it was a drone flyer's paradise. So I got so much footage, so many photos of the rice fields, the volcano in the distance. Hands down, that was my favorite stay. What about you?
Well, that was a very close contender. Although, if we think about what I like, as much as I loved it was gorgeous. There's a couple things from a comfort standpoint that I might prefer if we're going to say, okay, of all the places that I've stayed, you know, because they didn't have air conditioning, not that we needed it. There were some noisy frogs, even though that was kind of a sound experience. So I struggled with this at first, and then I thought, okay, where was I the most comfortable and happy? And it's Marina Bay Sands.
I knew it. I knew that was going to be the one.
The room was just insane. The views were, it's a totally different city. Going to Singapore after Bali, I know it was so much more of like modern and different, but Marina Bay Sands was just spectacular. And I mean, it's very hard to find a lot of travel hacking, as we've talked about in that episode, but I loved everything. You had full cocktails in the room. You had teas. You had a Dyson hairdryer. I mean, I'm happy sometimes in remote areas that they have a hairdryer, period, let alone the same one I use at home. I just felt that they had everything that you could possibly want in terms of comfort, luxury, and anything more that you could expect. Marina Bay Sands was up for it. And that sky pool that you could just, I know we didn't do it in Dubai, so maybe I'm a little biased here, but I felt that that was just such a cool cherry on top, which you could only really go into that pool if you stay at Marina Bay Sands. So I think that was probably my favorite place that we stayed this year, although that was really hard to choose.
No, I mean, that was a great place. The luxury in that room was top of the top notch. It was insane. The view is incredible. And I will say, I mean, as many times as I've seen the building, I didn't realize like how massive it actually is until you go inside and realize that the three kind of supporting beams of this boat in the air look are three massive independently huge towers. So it was really cool. And of course, the room that we had was facing the gardens by the bay. So like you said, yeah, that I knew that was going to be the place. It was a fantastic place to stay.
Comfy beds.
Comfy beds.
But it had all the things, all the amenities, everything you could ask for.
All the things. Well, let me see. We might have the same answer for this one, but I'm going to let you start. What was your favorite food experience of the year or location with food, either way?
It's going to be Marina Bay Sands. because of multiple different food experiences that we had while we were staying there. And we didn't even get to explore everything they have to offer. I mean, they have dozens of restaurants right there, many that have not just one, but more than one Michelin star. So this is high end. Is it a hack? Is it cheap? No. That's why I liked it. I had Wagyu. I had Peking duck. Oh my gosh, at Mott 32, when we had that Peking duck where we ate like the whole duck, they brought it to the table and the cocktails. It was just spectacular. And even at Spago, which is more of their like casual pool restaurant upstairs with the pool and the view. And even the like finger food, the burgers were incredible. So I think that, you know, in terms of food experience, I think Singapore more than delivered on a high-end foodie level. Not to say there weren't other great experiences, but it's really hard to top where you have so many excellent places and you don't even have to go anywhere.
Oh, absolutely. And even in Spago that you mentioned, that's on the rooftop and by the pool, it's just kind of, it's like the pool restaurant, which you would think on, you know, nothing fancy. It's a Wolfgang Puck restaurant. So Marina Bay Sands actually is my choice as well. I think that was some of the best food that we had all year, which, I mean, we had incredible food in pretty much all of our trips, but I couldn't even pick a place. I'm going to say probably Mott 32 as well. However, the Japanese restaurant that we went to was also very good.
Oh, yeah. We had the Wagyu sushi there. That was really cool. I mean, everything we ate there. And this, again, it's high-end luxury foodie food, not just general good food. Because I feel like we didn't have a bad meal this year, honestly.
That's right. And now I will say this. You don't have to have the Michelin star food experience in Singapore to enjoy quality food, because before we stayed at the Marina Bay Sands, we were at the Clan Hotel, which is right next to Chinatown. We went into Chinatown for a lot of meals, and all of those were fantastic without the cost.
And affordable, super affordable. Just before you order, it is classic Chinese rules. So if you order something, it is family style, which we learned on the first day by accident because we ordered two and they came and it was enough for 10 people. So very affordable, but understand the serving sizes. That was a little thing that we learned and we're better for it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what were your top two overall trip experiences? It can be anything from flight attendant service, an excursion we went on. I mean, really anything. What would you say?
So my top two experiences, number one, I'm going to go with the night dive with the manta rays, because that was absolutely incredible. That was on our first day of diving on the second trip to the Maldives. And we were both tired because that was a four dive day. And that was the final dive, which for those that don't dive, typically at most, you're going to do two in a day. And so we did three during the day. First one starting as early as like 6:30 in the morning. And then this one was essentially right after dinner. And it was incredible because we just had these manta rays that were somersaulting around us. And because of the light that I had with my camera, the plankton was right in front of our face. So they were really literally just 2 to 3 inches from us and dancing in the moonlight and the lights that we had that we were illuminating because we were in literally in Indian Ocean at night, which was really cool. That's number one. And then the second one, I'm going to go with the Vegas helicopter ride to EDC Las Vegas, which is courtesy of you, because we were tired of sitting in traffic trying to get from the Vegas Strip to the raceway for the one of the largest music festivals in the world. And instead of taking an Uber or a bus like we tried the last couple of days, we went ahead and took a helicopter ride that went straight over the Strip, went right over the Sphere. So it was a gorgeous view. And then like rock stars, just landed on a helipad right next to the stadium. And from the time we left our hotel to waiting at the bar, waiting for our helicopter, to boarding the helicopter and flying and getting into the stadium was like a total of 45 minutes. And it had taken us 2 to 3 hours to get there every other day. So I think that was going to be my number two. It was a fantastic and unique experience because that was the first time either of us had ever been in a helicopter. So I thought that was really cool. What were yours?
And what a way to do it.
Yeah.
People are going to think we lied and that we compared notes because I had exactly the same two in that order. So mantas was just magic. I mean, being so close to them and watching them dancing right next to you is just a whole nother level of an experience. And I get chills just even thinking about it right now. It was such an amazing experience just being that close to these beautiful mantas. And yeah, I thought the Vegas thing in the helicopter, not only was it the first time in a helicopter, it was the last day of the festival. We were both dressed head to toe. I still had my braids looked good. We had our outfits and we got to be on the helicopter at sunset over the strip, looking at all of these things from a view. Even though I've been to Vegas a million times, I never had that view of being in a helicopter, like right next to the skyline, getting over to EDC, which was really cool and it was really fun. And it was a standout for me too. And I didn't think that you would anticipate me picking that. And I wasn't sure if you'd pick it, but it stood out in my head as like, that was so awesome and it was so worth it. And yes, that was not a travel hack, but I would have done it again. Although I don't know if I'm going to do EDC Vegas again.
That's fair. That was an incredible experience, but it was a lot. And there's other music festivals in the world, which we're going to get to here in a second. So that was really good, but we're excited to experience something else.
Absolutely. Okay, so what do we have to look forward to in 2025?
Yeah, so a couple different things. I am actively, as we record this, on the Globalist run with a partnership between American Airlines and Hyatt. And so the Globalist run, which we've talked about here on the show before, basically is, can you complete a 20-night stay in 90 days. So if you were any American Airlines elite level, gold or higher, then you get Explorist and you have to complete 10 nights within a 90-day period to keep Explorist with Hyatt all the way through, I think like February 2026 or something along those lines. Now, if you're Executive Platinum or Platinum Pro, you have the same option, but you can do an additional 10 nights, so 20 nights total, to get Globalist for that same time frame. So I triggered it just before the end of the cutoff, which was October 31st. I triggered it, I think, October 30th, maybe. So we have until January 31st. I think we've got, with all the bookings we have planned, we probably will have about 5 nights that we're going to have to figure out how to complete in the month of January to be able to use. So excited to have Globalist status. One of the things I'm excited about is, in general, with Hyatt, between stays that we've had, between the credit card spend, we got to 40 nights. And so one of the awards that you get with Hyatt when you get 40 nights is you get a guest of honor upgrade, basically. And so we applied that guest of honor upgrade to our stay in Mexico City for New Year's, which I think this episode is going to be coming out right around New Year's. So if you're listening to it on or around New Year's, we're probably in Mexico City having some fun. But the cool thing with the guest of honor award is basically that allows us to enjoy Globalist level perks, even though we're only Explorist currently. So I'm looking forward to enjoying Guest of Honor. Maybe we'll get a suite upgrade, something really cool as well to enjoy as we stay in Mexico City. And we're going to, of course, have a full episode breakdown of our stay in Mexico City, points, the stuff we did in Mexico, all that fun stuff. So far, our booked trips for 2025, these are the ones that are booked. So we have a friend's wedding that's in February. There's the Hyatt Ziva and Zilara Rose Hall, which are in Jamaica, Montego Bay. We are staying at the Zilara, which is adults only. The wedding is in the Ziva, but they're right next to each other, so that's nice. That's a category E, so the second highest all-inclusive category, over $1,000 a night, and we use points for that, which are awesome. And then snowboarding ski trip with some friends at the Park Hyatt Beaver Creek. That's a category 8, so their highest level non-all-inclusive property. That's over $1,000 per night. Use points for that as well. And then we are doing, as Taryn mentioned earlier, we're going to the Grand Kimpton in Roatan, and that's in Honduras. And we're going to be doing some diving there because, as you've heard, we love to dive. And we literally got that card. So that's the cool thing with Points and Miles. We strategically got that card. She got the IHG One Rewards card because we knew we wanted to go here, to go to Roatan and enjoy essentially some amazing diving without having to go all the way to the Maldives. Although, I mean, I don't think we're going to see some manta rays and whale sharks, but I think we'll have some really great diving. That card comes with status. And the cool thing is we booked 3 nights on points. We got the 4th night free, and it's also an Amex Fine Hotel and Resort. And so Taryn used I know you used your fine hotel and resort benefit. You paid cash for the first day. Then we used points for 4 nights when, again, we got the 4th night free on points. And then I used my Amex final hotel and resort benefit for the last night. So we have a full week and we technically paid for 2 nights in total, but then we got our $200 credit for those 2 nights. And so both of those nights were 50% off basically, which is awesome. And that's how we kind of snuck in using our fine hotel and resort credit before the year is out, because although it's booking for next year, the charge happened this year. So the credit applied this year. So we were trying to figure out how to use it for Taryn. And then I had that new business platinum that I told you about that we just got. And so I wanted to take advantage of that. So we absolutely maximized that as well. And then also the Travel More conference I plan to go to at the beginning of October as well.
And of course, we've got the wedding in the DR as well coming up.
We do. So it's going to be a busy year for travel. We have a few possibles in there. One is Tomorrowland in Belgium. So that would replace our EDC Vegas, because that's going to be one of the world's most popular music festivals, and it's in Belgium. There's a whole issue with getting tickets to that. So if we get tickets, then we can figure out the points and miles to get us there. But that's going to be one of our biggest possibles. But then as far as possible plans and such for the podcast, you know, for our listeners out there, we want to continue to bring you guys value with the points and miles, bring insights, bring trips, bring strategies, more deep dives on different things like card benefits and perks and things that you may not be aware of. And then also keep bringing amazing travel stories, whether they're our own, whether they're from other individuals that have just revolutionized how they travel with themselves and their families. We want to bring it to you all. And again, you know, really appreciate you guys being along with us for the journey. So guys, we're going to wrap this one up here very soon. I want to make sure that you guys continue to set your own travel goals, keep maximizing your points, revolutionize your travels, revolutionize your journeys. That's what we're here for. Reach out to us if you have questions. And also don't forget, the best offers link is updated every single month. And we're always going to try to pinpoint the best cards, the best offers to allow you to earn points and miles. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter to keep you in the loop.
Absolutely. And a heartfelt thank you to every listener for your support throughout this year. Thank you. If you found this podcast helpful throughout the year, make sure, if you could, please give it a 5-star review and rating and tell your friends. And if you were able to revolutionize your own travels and experience an amazing trip, redemption, or just did something you never would have done prior to learning about points and miles, we want to hear from you. If we helped inspire this and help make it happen, we want to celebrate this with you. So shoot us an email or a DM, and we may feature you in a future episode and your story. Please, we really appreciate the feedback and input and success stories. And thank you again, as always. We'll see you on the next episode.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single topic, coffee break episodes.
See you there.